Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is a returning guest who, you know, I don't know why he picked this one, but we'll find out soon. It's Tommy Schwanfelder, everyone.
Woo-hoo! Hey, hi, good to be back. And this is just you've covered movies and TV shows with far less music than this movie. So
true,
that's why,
yes.
I don't feel quite as bad.
Yeah. And today we're here to talk about the 1967 cult classic Valley of the Dolls. The screenplay is by Helen Dutch and Dorothy Kingsley. Music by Andre Previn. Lyrics by Dori Previn. It was directed by Mark Robson. And according to IMDb, film version of Jacqueline Suzanne's best-selling novel chronicling the rise and fall of three young women in show business.
Yeah, it's okay.
Have you read the book? You've read the book.
I've read like a third of the book I've gotten through, but I just got distracted. Or maybe characters got too different, because I know there's a big difference between stuff.
Yes, there's huge differences. So I prefer the book over the movie. I'm not going to lie.
But the book's not a musical, so we can't really cover the book.
But we did this. That's what this episode is. We're going to talk about every facet of it.
No, bring it on. Yeah.
So what I like about the book is that it's over the course of like 20 years, and this movie, it says it's years pass, or they mention how time passes, but I'm like, how? You're all wearing the same things.
Yeah.
Like
no one looks any older. People are dressed more maturely, but that's about it.
Right. And the 60s, from early 60s to 67, fashion has changed. Fashion
yes.
changed a lot. And it's so much like, well, you have it. Like, you're currently living it, so you should have like this information to tell your audiences about this. But like the book, it starts in like 45, right after World War II, and it ends it like just like 1962 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so
the movie seems to take place within like, I'll be polite and say like a 5-year time span.
That's generous.
Yeah, I know.
But it seems true, because like Neely keeps talking about time passing and her career boosts. They changed a lot, especially the ending. The ending is so different.
What ending? Well, let's be honest, for this movie, what is this ending?
So, okay, this is my read on the ending, and I'm well aware I'm going to give too much credit to the movie. I read it as a way of Anne learning that she has to love herself before she could love others, because that's her issue. Like, her and Lion have that conversation early where he's like, I'm not a marrying type. And she's like, but for me, please marry me, 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 me. And that's in the book too. And it's, oh God, I don't like the character Anne.
I mean, she's the middle of the road character. Like, I'm not sure about the book, but at least for the film, she's kind of the catalyst. Like, she's who brings us to New York and gets the ball rolling on how we meet everyone.
Yeah.
We're seeing it through her eyes. Then after that, then it kind of goes rogue.
Yeah, that's the same in the book. But the thing I don't like in the movie that they do is they have her take the dolls earlier than they do in the book. It's literally like the last few pages that she finally breaks down and takes pills.
That's in the book.
That's in the book. In the really, movie,
also feels like it's end of the road, like, I'm just taking pills, because it's almost like when they made the, if there wasn't a book, or some, it was only written for the screen, for her, the dolls, and to a degree, what's her name? Sharon Tate's character,
Jennifer.
Jennifer. For both of them, the pills are more like, oh God, we got to work the dolls into them for some reason. Whereas Neely's, you see why she does what she does. But
So
it's.
Neely is Judy Garland,
Oh yeah.
basically.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Which is hilarious because Judy Garland was originally cast as Helen.
Yep. And.
And I found an IMDb trivia fact that I don't know how true it is, but I'm going to say it because we all know how my feelings are of old Hollywood and how they mistreated women, specifically Judy Garland, because we've talked about her a bunch of times. So, according to this IMDb trivia, it says Judy Garland originally cast as Helen Lawson, but was fired when she showed up on set drunk. She was replaced by Susan Hayward at the last minute. Patty Duke later claimed that director Mark Robson deliberately kept Garland waiting in her dressing room all day, knowing that when he finally allowed her on the set, she would be drunk by then. So, much like the men in the movie.
Yes.
And
Yeah, it's take it or leave it, because I've heard mostly versions of her breaking down in some way, shape, or form. How the specifics of it, I mean, we weren't there. Patty just shared what she shared and everything. But the bulk of it was that she just kind of got a little pushy, got a little just everything,
right, but okay,
they fired her slash she left. I don't know.
I'm getting on my soapbox again, everyone. I am not sorry about this because it pisses me off.
Nope, let's do it.
The studios do not take accountability for how they treated her or mistreated her, I should say. They're the ones who were making her take these diet pills, take these sleeping pills, do this, do that. The drinking, okay, that was on her, but the pills were on them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree.
And so it's just that we were robbed of such great talent. We have great talent seen on screen, but hearing a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, it's like, but you did this. You know that, right?
Yeah. Yep. That
You're the reason.
Yep. That made for TV movie. What was it? Me and My Shadows with Judy Davis and Tammy, what's her name, who went on to do tons of Broadway and stuff. They like the way it was portrayed, even if reality was, because I'm sure everything's amped up for TV, etc.
Of course.
Even if what the studio did to her was 1/10 of what this TV two-night movie event showed us was like, it's still terrible. It's awful. And even Mickey Rooney had gone on record with saying about the pressure she was under, about the pills, about, and like you said, not the booze, but like to however old she was, don't take my gay card away, folks. For like even during Wizard of Oz, about
They
losing a
gave
few
her
pounds, they gave her
pills for that,
speed.
yeah.
They gave her speed.
Right.
So.
And like, what was it, Summer Stock? Like when she did Get Happy, they had to reshoot it and she lost so much weight for whatever reason. It was probably more pills and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. Oh,
So
I never knew that.
yeah, if you were to watch it, you could see her. I mean, she's Judy Garland. She's still tiny.
Yeah.
But like she's even tinier
In
in Get Happy.
that men's suit or men's jacket.
So
Wow.
but I think it would be, I wish she was on record talking about being cast in this because obviously that character is based off of her. And if you, the listener, I mean, you said you read about a third of the book and you picked up on that. Like,
Yeah,
honestly.
it's not far into the book when you realize this ain't the movie, kids.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying honestly, like Neely is Judy.
Judy.
And like
Yep.
other women, of course, but because Judy Garland is the biggest name and the most well known at this point, like
Especially mainstream. The people who knew who Ethel Merman were, like, it was pretty obvious to them that,
Helen Lawson was
Helen
Ellen.
Lawson, yeah, I keep saying Susan Hayward, that Helen Lawson was Ethel
Ethel.
Merman, and how odd that she was originally played by, supposed to be played by Judy Garland.
Which is fascinating because I don't, it would be a very different character for Judy to play because you need that What's the word I'm looking for for to describe it?
Brass.
Brass, ballsy, broad. There we
Yeah.
go. The three
You need
B's.
Ethel.
Yes. Okay. Sorry to go on my go so hard so fast in the beginning, everyone.
No.
But you knew you if you saw the title, you knew this was going to happen.
Yep. But even with, and I'm sure you've seen it, and many of our listeners have seen, or your listeners have seen it, was that like her screen test, like even just the costume filmings, you can see all of Judy Garland in the Helen costumes, like, and
Yeah,
just to watch her like try to walk in a turn in a circle to show off how the outfit looks on her. It's just your costuming, like screen test kind of stuff. But even just watching her frail little body just trying to basically just turn around, like she's just got her arms up, shoulder height, and she's just like kind of wobbling, just turning to show off the costume. And then she took the costumes and
Well,
they
and
made
then
a whole
apparently.
nother set for Susan Hayward.
Well, she didn't take all of them.
No,
So
no.
the trivia is a little back and forth. Again, it's all he said, she said in a way, because we weren't there, so we don't exactly know. But the way that they made it sound like she definitely took the pantsuit,
Oh yeah, she
the
wore
paisley one, and she wore it. And again, according to the IMDb trivia, she had the costume design. She commissioned the costume designer to make two more in different colors.
nice. Good
So,
for her. I
I
think
mean,
I
that
remember seeing the
pantsuit.
picture of her in I think it's in Australia, like a concert in Australia or something. She's wearing it. I'm like, that's Helen Lawson's pantsuit, gold with the green scarf or whatever. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get to the movie then.
All right, let's go.
So, it's about the IMDb summary is kind of right. It's just very broad and not detailed about how this is like the rise and fall of three women in the entertainment industry. Anne starts off as a secretary. Is that the job?
Yes, like an entertainment secretary, like part of the pool,
Yeah, okay.
but her boss, Mr. I can't remember the old bald guy.
Yeah, Mr. Old
He,
Bald Guy.
Mr. Bald Guy, takes to her right away, and he gives her like this assignment: I'll test you out for 1 week. Go to Helen Lawson's her dressing room and have her sign these contracts.
Henry Bellamy is the character name.
Okay.
Yeah, so she starts off as
Thank you.
his
That's it.
secretary and then becomes a spokesperson model
I mean,
for.
we're jumping ahead, but yes, you are totally correct. Like
Yes.
she's basically Mr. Bellamy's main secretary, yes, along with oh, I love her, the one who greets her in the film
Oh,
and
Miss
everything.
Steinberg,
Steinberg with
the one
the tabby with
whose opening monologue is about some, well, we don't know it's a cat at first, but she's talking about somebody's pregnant or some, and you're like,
yeah.
who's pregnant? Are you pregnant? Is a
Especially, I hope it's not
celebrity?
like she, but the way she's talking is
Doesn't
like,
know who the father is.
yeah, I know she likes to step out, I believe is what she says. Steinberg says, you know how she likes to step out at night. And so, but then at the end, the little, hey, gotcha is like, it's her cat.
It's okay. But I mean, it is kind of like a precursor to what we're going to
Yep.
see in a
Yeah.
way, where like Neely cheats and fucks around with everybody and ruins people's lives. Jennifer's the one who gets pregnant. I mean, it is it, that mo opening monologue, I guess it's o is more important than I think I originally thought it was going to be. Now that we're talking about it.
I think it's honestly, I believe you 100% because I never thought of it that way, but you're totally right. I think the original intention of it is just to kind of throw you off to be like, ooh, it's going to be a scandalous film. Oh, wait, she's talking about her cat.
Right. But also then and then it's like, oh, wait, no, you're talking about the movie now. Now that we're
Yeah.
discussing it and remembering. Although this is wild that it starts with the disclaimer of like there
Oh shoot. If it looks like someone who's alive, living or dead is purely coincidental, blah
which
blah
they usually
blah.
put at the end of the movie,
Yep.
like it's during the end credits and everything. So That's wild that they put it at the
I think it's
beginning.
because the book itself caused the book caused major scandal. It was super popular, but caused major scandal in the US. So for the movie like lightened it a lot. I
Oh,
know that the
yeah.
movie lightened the blow of that a really a lot. So people who are coming to see the film thinking they're going to see exactly what the book is, you got like the diet caffeine free, sugar free, zero calorie just for the taste of it, Valley of the Dolls.
1960s cinema as well, because like,
Whatever they're allowed to show and infer, or
yeah,
sorry, imply.
because I was reading, I remember that Jennifer, I can't remember if it's when she's in Europe or before she goes to Europe, but like she plays around with being a lesbian, you know, she has sex with women. Tony loves anal.
Maybe I'll have to revisit this book.
Revisit the book because what they do to Tony as well is wild. It doesn't make sense. It makes sense, but it doesn't make sense because in the book they say that he has mental developmental issues where he hasn't developed mentally past the age of 12 or 13 or something like that.
Whoa, that's a big difference from what we get in the film.
Yeah, because
Huge.
in the film he has Huntington's disease, which deteriorates him, and it makes that scene in the sanitarium, like in the book, it's bigger, and it's, you know, I mean, Neely in the book is such a monster too. In the
I
movie
can only imagine.
we get Diet Monster, and like this is Patty. It was kind of like a crapshoot for Patty Duke to take this role. Because I don't really know her like work
I mean,
well.
because basically her background was she did theater, and then Miracle Worker, the play on Broadway, was such a hit that they made the movie with her and Anne Bancroft, and who had both done the Broadway play. And they wanted them, and especially for a kid actor, like you got to get them now. If we're going to film this movie, we're doing it now. And since they were such stars in the play, they made the movie. The movie did great. Anne Bancroft won. Actually, she and Patty both won an Oscar that year.
Wow.
For that. And so it w and then they had the Patty Duke show on TV, where she played not Patty Duke, but her name was Patty on the show, very original. But she also played her twin cousin. It was one of those wacky scenarios kind of thing. So Patty played both these characters, like Parent Trap, Haley Mills situation.
Yeah.
When they're on Sisters, she's playing her cousin who looks exactly like her. Let the wackiness ensue kind of thing. And so America knew her as this goody good girl and everything, and just good American home fronty kind of gal. And so she kind of wanted to break that mold a little bit. So and but that's why I think she had such reservations, because she's like, this is not the Patty Duke show. But also she wrote an autobiography, My Name is Anna, or Call Me Anna, which is her real name, the actress's
Oh,
real
wow.
name. Yeah. So, but it's about her history growing up, which wasn't very pleasant. So what we saw on TV and on Broadway and in movies and all that stuff was the good girl kind of stuff, whereas her actual home life was very not
Troubled.
pleasant. It was troubled, that's a good word for it.
Yeah.
So just she had to go onto set every day just knowing that stuff's waiting at home and everything.
Yikes. So then doing this is, it was some sort of therapy, probably, it sounds
Oh,
like.
to get the rage out? Yes. Like, I'm not Patty Duke on a TV series. I'm Patty Duke, the actress. It's the showgirls. It's the showgirls for her kind of thing. Like, I'm not Jessie Spano from Saved by the Bell. I'm a serious actress. And then we saw how that went. And
Right.
Valley of
Well,
the
at
Dolls
least.
did okay.
Yeah, and at least, you know, well, it was panned critically, but it made a shit ton of money,
Yep,
like
it's like
theatrically.
the book
Yeah.
too. Critics hated it, but they did a test run. There's a movie called "Isn't She Great" with Bette Midler as Jacqueline Suzanne, and
Oh.
it's about Jacqueline Suzanne's history. But of course, a chunk of the movie is about the book. And there's one great scene. It's in the trailer where the guys come into the office, and there's the maid whose name I can't remember, but you'd recognize her, like the actress, you'd recognize her right away. But they needed a Hispanic woman to play the maid in 1960, whatever, the late 60s, early 70s. And they're like, "You read this book, didn't you?" She's like, and she says, like, she pulled out of the trash the manuscript, and she just says, "It is the greatest book I have ever read." And so they're like, "Well, we may not like it, but if all these women like it, let's see how she goes."
Yeah,
So it was a huge hit as a book.
that was also in the trivia about how like a lot of actresses hated the script for this and turned it down. They listed all the names, but you know, grain of salt, everyone. So who knows what's actually true? But like, yeah, I know that there was at the time some sort of like, oh, you're reading Valley of the Dolls. Oh, you know, there were, it was kind of like, it isn't like well received, I guess. I guess depending on the polite society and all that, because it is deep and dark. It could be worse, I will say that.
Jesus.
Worse stuff has happened in real life, as we kind of touched upon. But yeah, doing this movie, though, I wasn't really paying attention to it this time. I'm not gonna lie to you.
No, that's fine. I actually fast forwarded through a bunch because I knew I'm like, okay, we're focusing on the music, and I know there's no underscoring here. There's no, like, I could read you the plot for this movie back and forth, left and right. So I'm like, I just had to kind of, I skipped a lot of stuff. I fast forwarded to get to any of the musical numbers or to get to musical moments in the film, which I also have some stuff written down about those.
Yeah, I mean, I made note of when they play the song theme of the Valley of the Dolls, or theme for Valley of the Dolls, the Dionne Warwick song. They play it like five times during the whole movie.
Like little snippets of it here and there. So you get the full version beginning, I think, and end of the film, you get the full version. But throughout the film, yeah, you get like a minute long little montage or whatever, or Anne just stumbling around on the beach or
It's like Anne's song, really, if you think about it, because that's who really, like, when they really play it, it's during her moments.
Yeah,
And
so
there, I feel like there was also a missed opportunity for a song. So I think personally, since we're living in the time of remakes, reboots, and all that, I think this is a good one to remake. Follow the book. Just follow the book.
they have done remakes of it. I think in the 70s they did, late 70s they did a, like either TV movie version of it or something. But it was it, any kind of reboot of it takes place in the now, so in 1980 or
No.
whatever. I agree, I agree. And then they
Yeah.
tried a TV series, and all I remember, the only name I remember that was because it aired, like, and there's cast pictures of them and everything. And the only name that I remember, like, quote unquote, you know, celebrity name that I remember who was in it was I, it was, oh, I can picture her totally, big blonde curly hair. She was, David's mom on Roseanne. She was, I believe she was Helen Lawson. But every version they've ever done since the original movie takes place in the current time period. So yes, I agree. We should get, I mean, and at this point, oh, as like a four-part series or something like that, like have Netflix grab this thing and like do the book the honor it deserves. Because like nowadays audiences, like this is child's play. Like even what you said, it kind of made me gasp, only because I know the movies so well, but that the book goes more in depth with certain issues and really in depth with others. Like you can show that now and people won't freak out.
No,
So make a mini series on Netflix.
so to go back, you were talking about Gene Simmons as Helen Lawson.
Maybe that, sure. I'm not 100%, but again, I was surprised at how many iterations of Valley of the Dolls have been attempted in the
Yeah,
past 50 years.
I agree with you that it needs to be some sort of Netflix series, because like we go through 20 years, a lot ha you can't, there's some stuff you can cut out because it's a lot of like, okay, why do we care about this? But there's some things that you're like, let's sit. I feel like they took some wrong moments from the book and focused on that in the movie, in this movie, and they added things, they changed characters entirely. 'Cause like Pat, like I said, Neely is the worst in the book. She, though, when she admits to sleeping with Lion, it is so like she, Patty Duke did a job, did a great job. I will say that.
With
But
what she was
she's
given,
with
yes.
what she was given. But in the book, Neely has like zero emotion or is like, I slept with him. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. Oh, damn. Okay.
It is, it's, you read, finish it, finish it. Go back, reread it, and finish
Okay.
it. You will, it's, I get it that this is like kind of camp and they play off with queening out on things, but in that bathroom scene, like iconic, but
Yes.
they missed a lot. And
Gotcha.
I also like Neely's ending in the movie compared to the book, because in the movie, at least she realizes that she fucked up.
Yeah, and
And
she's yelling in the alleyway.
she's yelling in the alleyway. And I hope this version of Neely asks for help again and like takes it serious this time. It's just, it's also that like this is the time period where therapy wasn't a thing unless you were like fucked up, like serial killer fucked up.
But if it's just like, you take some pills, we're gonna send you to a either they called it like either drying out or a nut house or a so it's kind of a sanitarium has a sort of umbrella effect with anyone who's ill.
I mean, that's the other good thing about this movie, I will say, is that we're getting language of the time. So like when they call what's his name? Ted Casablanca a fag all the time, like they're not
Yes.
hiding it.
Yeah. I'm like, I didn't know if we could say it on here. I know we
Oh,
can swear. I just didn't know
let's
if.
go to town. Let's
Okay, good. Then, I mean, I'm not going to abuse it, but there are a few notes I took where I'm like, can I say the word? Like in my head as I'm writing the note, like, can I write that word down?
let's say it. We're
Alrighty.
well, I mean, it, they just throw it around willy-nilly and everything. And I believe in the book, he is actually like, he does sleep with men, but he also sleeps with women as well.
Yeah.
Like,
Everyone's
that
fluid.
detail.
It's the 60s. They're fluid.
Yeah. Well, this is like the 50s in the book, really.
Okay, true. Yes.
Because the majority of it takes place during the 50s.
Okay, so they're not fluid. They're just deeply in the closet or on
Deeply
the
in the closet,
DL.
yes, with a wink.
Yeah, with a wink. In the closet with a wink.
But so they gave Neely, the character, the majority of the songs. However, Patty Duke does not sing them.
And thank God I have a Patty Duke album, a record album, and it's Patty Duke on the album. It's that it sure is on her one woman solo album, and she sings these two songs on her album of all her singing all the songs,
Well, there's
and
three that
she,
she.
sorry,
No.
what?
Well, there's kind of three that she sings because she does her own version of Come Live With
Oh
Me.
yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right. And that actually you were saying in the movie is this it just comes from a slightly different angle for just that moment. You said it's a little bit longer, whatever. It's one of the most when I watched it today and when I watched it in the past many times was that that's one of the most heartfelt moments in the film when she sees him because she even says somewhere before while she's monologuing about how she's like, I knew he was here, I just never seen him. And so she gets up to sing at apparently it's a talent show because there's a lot of people there. I'm like, none of you are
Oh,
residents here.
it was a
It's
dance
that
or
was it. It was a
something.
dance, but there was just a lot of people there. I'm like, none of you, you guys don't even go here. Are you like friends and family of patients? Anyway, she gets up and sings. And the way that piano player responds so quickly, do you know, come live with me? Yes, of course. Oh, let her finish asking the question. But yeah, and but just her singing it because it's also bringing the song from a different meaning and a different angle, and then she hears him, and I even wrote down because it was just so it was so wonderful about that the power of music to come right back to this screaming back to this podcast was that like the power of music is what kind of wakes him up,
Yeah.
especially one of his songs, but that she's bringing it at a different angle, the meaning of the song. and that she's discovered him through his music. That's because the first time she saw him was he sang that song when she saw him at the club, and
Yes.
then
Yes.
she sings at
Yes.
the sanitarium, and that's when he's just in the back. She doesn't even know he's there. He kind of wakes up and like kind of joins in with for a little while, then he passes out or whatever. And
Yeah,
she
it's
says
kind of.
like that's what caused me to like I knew I was going to be okay after I saw him.
Honestly, I think because this movie was made in the 60s, it is not as heartbreaking as the book went that because books can go there, you know? Like books, you can, no matter what time period they're written in, they expand the imagination and everything, and you feel differently. But because now we're doing a movie, can't really show a lot of things because of censorship and all that.
Of course.
But like that moment in the movie was very well done and very well handled, it felt like. You know, mental illness in the 60s was not a thing. Like it wasn't well talked about as it is
There
currently.
you go. I'm like, mental illness was definitely a thing. Mental wellness,
Mental
not so
wellness, excuse
much.
me. Let me
Not so much
well and
a
also
priority.
the importance of like prescribing and dealing with mental illness is not the same as it is today. Is what I was trying to say with less words.
Gotcha.
My apologies, everyone. But yeah, like that was I like that. I like that song, Come Live With Me. I wrote down when he sings it for the first time that Tony's having cheer sex with Jennifer
Yep. Oh, totally.
to
Yes.
bring it to do bring it on. But I was like, this will be great. But we have Give a Little More, which we don't really hear that much of it. It's the
It's a
song
great,
Neely sings.
and it's a great song, and it's shitty that Helen Lawson cuts the song because she's so good at it. But it is just as a song unto itself. Like that's a really good song, actually.
Right. I mean, allegedly,
Yes.
according to the IMDb trivia,
Oh boy. Oh
Ethel
boy.
Merman did something similar, which I'm
Oh,
not surprised. I wouldn't
yeah.
be surprised if any of those big Broadway dames back then did similar things.
Yeah, nope, same. I agree. I wouldn't. I'm not surprised by any of it. I'm still annoyed by it, but that showbiz kid. I have a question for you because I know you do a lot more. You've worked in houses and all that kind of stuff. The
Yeah.
rehearsal facility where Anne goes to bring the contracts. So she's passing the rehearsal room over here, the acting room over here, in order to get to Helen because she has a dressing room there for some reason. Is that kind of like, are those rehearsal, stations like that? Like, do those still exist? Maybe a
So
different format, but do they still, you check in with someone? It's in A Chorus Line, the movie. Same thing when Cassie talks to the lady and she directs him, oh my God, directs her to, oh, they're in floor B or wherever she says, but there's someone you check in with and there's.
In A Chorus Line, they're in a theater.
Okay.
So that's different. I can't speak to how rehearsal rooms were in the 60s, but currently, I mean, they're pretty big depending on what you need. Like when we would rehearse for the live episodes that we did, we would go to a studio, like a studio space that had like multiple rooms to, and so they but they were specifically for voice and piano and all that, for like Broadway shows and everything. They have massive rooms. I don't think they have a gallery like it's in this one where you know the people are up top looking down. I haven't seen that,
Okay, I was just curious because I'm like, oh, he'll know.
but I've seen different like they are different rooms, and like you'll see like a tap rehearsal happening in one and auditions happening in another, and
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I was asking. So cool. I was just curious if like, because it looks great, the idea of what they're presenting to us, even if we knew nothing about it, and it wasn't true at all. I'd buy that totally. Like, oh, there's the rehearsal room. There's the audition room. There's the tapper. There's the weird acting class that's going on where people are yelling at each other.
Yes. And then there's like the next show that's rehearsing, you know, like
Yep. And
it.
I've seen those big rooms. I watched Smash,
That's more like it. And
Yeah.
but think of it as like maybe three of those rooms on a floor, and they're being occupied by different shows.
Okay.
And it's
Cool.
not necessarily all Broadway, because sometimes, you know, a show will rehearse here and then go to wherever they are
Yeah.
in the world.
Yep. Who can pay for the space? Who needs it? Great. It's yours.
Right,
Yeah.
exactly.
You're just renting a room. Okay, cool. Thanks. That's what I had to ask you.
Yeah, so Patty Duke was dubbed by Gail Hindman, as well as Susan Hayward. Hey, not same, different person though. Susan Hayward was dubbed by Margaret Whiting. And a lot of the trivia facts were talking about how, like, Gail Hindman, Susan Whiting, and Dionne Warwick were all under different contracts at the time. So, like, they're
Yep.
not on the soundtrack.
It's like trying to find the original actual White Christmas soundtrack. I want to hear who's singing in the movie. I just want that recording. Well, that doesn't exist because all four of them were under different contracts. So, sorry.
Right, but luckily you can hear Rosemary Clooney doing her songs on a different album, and then you
Correct.
can kind of make
Piece them
your
together.
own.
Yeah. You can Frankenstein it together. But yeah, I had the same note, same thing. Especially for poor Helen Lawson's character, had to go through like two or three. Like they recorded it with her, but her label said no. So that's why they used whatever they ended up with, Margaret Whiting or whatever at the end for the final. This here's who you see in the movie, here's who you hear in the soundtrack. Whereas again, because like you're saying, other record labels, same thing, Dionne Warwick, her label, Scepter Records, wouldn't allow them to put it on the soundtrack. So like I have her recording of that song. That's on, excuse me, lots of different albums of hers under
Right.
that the Scepter or maybe Motown bought it out at some point.
And
I'm
then
not sure.
you mentioned the Patty Duke album, where she did her own recordings of these. And I read that she was also upset that they were going to dub her. But I haven't listened to them. So is it just like a different tone or something, or
It's not something you'd want to put on a soundtrack kind of
say
thing.
it, just say it. Come on, don't dance around it. We're
She's too amateur for it.
great.
There, she's too
And
amateur, and
that's
because of the there you go. Add it. Put it in my little
the
bubble right there. She's too amateur for it. Because of who the character is, and it's supposed to have this wonderful, like, young, brassy, like, pure Broadway voice. Patty Duke does not have such a voice, so she's got
Okay.
heart.
Okay. I'll plant my own tree.
I have no notes about the song because the dubbed voice sounds
I
fine.
don't care about
It's
the
not,
song. We're talking about the scene itself.
yep. I think I wrote like, what the hell show is she doing? Like,
Yeah,
we know what it's called, but like, what is this show?
in all
What is this
caps, I
from?
wrote, "What is this set design?" Like, they were inspired by, fuck, I didn't even write it down or remember who it was. There's a sculptor that they were inspired by to for that set piece, as well as some of the sculptures throughout the movie. Hold on, let me see if I can find it again.
It's very like art mod. It's very that. Very kind of what you think of like well mod, like British, when you think of more like Twiggy and like that kind of stuff, all the weird hanging mobiles and everything.
Yes, and it's insane to say the least, because you're watching it and you're like, this is distracting. Like the idea of seeing a Helen Lawson show, because this is who it is. You
Yes,
know, we're seeing Helen Lawson, who's big name, and this is the out of town tryout for everything. Is that you want to see Helen Lawson? You don't want to see a mobile that's inspired by sculptor Alexander Calder, and it be so distracting that you're like, what is going, like, if maybe we got a little more context, we the audience got a little more context, it would make sense. But what we're watching is just a weird music video
Yes,
that
with
even
things
the
floating around her,
I
she hardly moves. She does a park and bark walk, not walk and wave. She walks a little up front because her dress is so like not skinny, but you know it's just confining that she just kind of does her little step touch, then she walks back, Park and Bark,
And
and Song's Over.
I think one of the parts hits her at some point, if I remember.
But she's a
Because
trooper.
she's
She's going to keep going.
well, because she's supposed to be in the middle of like the like these two.
Mobiles.
Are they glass? What are like what,
Oh, that's
colored
plastic.
glass?
That's plastic. I
But is
mean,
it supposed it's supposed to be colored glass, right, or something?
but that's plastic. But yes, I believe it's supposed to be glass.
I understand that. I guess they're going for, you know, like you said, the modness of it, where it does look cool. It is a cool effect on the screen behind her,
I agree.
but like when it's in front of her face and it's not giving the same effect and everything, I'm just like, what
And
the
also,
fuck?
is this the 11 o'clock number of the show we're seeing? Like, is this the end of the show or just her last little huzzah
Is
moment?
this supposed
Like,
to be the same show? This is supposed to be the same show that Neely got fired from, right?
correct. That's another reason. I'm like, well, give a little more. How's that going to fit into what the hell we just watched? So, because we know nothing of this Helen Lawson show, and the only hit that comes out of Helen Lawson is Helen Lawson, and that's me, baby. So now she's Telly Savalas. So it's just like, I don't know what the heck this was. But my fun fact that is close to home, literally close to my house, they're supposedly performing in at the Schubert in New Haven, Connecticut. And where Anne takes Lion to go get a drink or whatever to wait for the reviews at 4 a.m.
When when they're like, oh, the reviews come out at 4 a.m. What are we gonna do? I was like, you're gonna fuck. But then they go for a stroll and she's like, my dad used to come here when he was at Yale. And I was like, where's the fucking
Yeah, we'll get there. Don't worry, it's coming, and so is Lion. But it's the
will
external
say
shot.
that what that sex scene or the precursor to the sex scene that was never shot was done very tastefully. And I
Yes.
understand that they're dealing with a lot of, you know,
Censorship and everything, but
yes.
just the backlighting, it still gives Anne her innocence because we don't know if they totally did it. It's heavily implied, but we don't really know. But
Right.
I agree with you. Any of the backlight with the curtains blowing in the background, lovely.
Like
Very well handled.
the only time we see anything is for like a split second in Jennifer's
French,
foreign film
her dirty movie, yes.
where we see side boobie and
Barely, but yes.
we may see a nipple for like a hot second, like a nanosecond,
That was
but
scandalous enough. That's all you get.
that
And the
was
excuse, I think they got away with that only because they're like, well, we have to recreate, or as best as for an American audience, recreate a French film for the American eye to know what this is.
like that's also one thing that I'm like, oh, if you can remake this, you could do
You can show a little more.
you can do it.
But just really quick so I can remember to finish the story, was that the shot they do of where Anne takes him, like it's like a bridge at night or something like that. That's real. That's a total shot from Yale, New Haven. Like that's really
Oh.
there. So I have a picture of me. I did a little top and bottom. I'll send it to you. You can use it. It's up to you. But that's definitely not what the inside looks like. But they did a good job with New England. Any of the New England stuff, like into Connecticut, even though very few of the places were somewhere in like maybe upstate New York, I'm not sure. Like they did a great job because where they filmed the Lawrenceville stuff is 1 hour west of my hometown in Connecticut. But every small town in Connecticut, we all look exactly alike. The white church. You know, the other church with the red door, the historic little nonsense, the little train station, we all look exactly the same.
So, how did you feel about the montages in this movie?
They are perfect for their time period. I enjoy them. It was one of our very few pa show showings of passage of time. We're still not sure how much time has passed, but at least it did that. And as one of my things, we'll get to it later, towards the end, but Neely's career montage at the beginning, towards the beginning, when she's like practicing her singing, and it goes to her taking the pills that the dance teacher gives her, and Mel
Stretching
tells
and
her
jumping on a
no,
trampoline.
yep,
Yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. I love that part.
Well, that one is one that I was like, She should be having a song right now. Since we have voice lessons, start it off as her singing and then show the rest of the montage. You hear that, writers, for this a potential reboot remake of this movie?
We're giving this to you.
We're
Just use it.
this is free. I'm not even going to ask you for royalties for this thought. Like, this is a free, just do it. Please, somebody do this. It doesn't have to be a musical. It's just please pay respect to the book because,
But most of the montages, the Gillian Girl also brings us into that very hardcore, like 60s flowing wind, colorful furniture and stuff up against a white wall, or giant, mod looking, like very laughing sort of a thing. Not quite as silly, of course, but just that kind of idea, that look.
Well, Anne gets like five montages throughout this whole movie. We start with a montage. We
We
start
do. You're right, we
with her
do.
coming from Lawrenceville to New York because she's a city girl now. But she has that one. She has the Gillian girl. There's the
There's the drug
the
one.
one
There's
where
the
she's
one.
the drug into going back to Lawrenceville. I feel like I'm missing some because why? Who cares? But it's like
Because,
it.
like you were saying earlier, I think even the book too, like we, the audience or the reader, are supposed to be kind of following through Anne, not the whole thing, because we definitely get offshoots where there's moments where she's not there, so she wouldn't have seen any of this. But at least she's the conduit to which we, the viewer or the listener, or
Right.
reader, is following.
Like,
So they're like, "We, she brought you here, but oh God, we need something for her to do. Oh God, what do we do?"
well, so in the book, it's Anne is definitely like our main person. And then once she meets Neely and Jennifer, we then get little snapshots of that. Like, the story, there's moments that focus on their sides, that what happens to them and everything. And then obviously, once Jennifer dies, like, we don't hear anymore from her world.
Tony's still in there. His sister's still a big old worry
I
wart.
think he dies in the book, if I remember
I
correctly.
w I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And I think also, like, Neely makes a bigger deal about that moment where she's like, he's here. Oh my God. Let me be a bitch about it. Like, it's bad what they show you in this movie. I think her experience is worse in the book. It's been a minute since I read the book. The last time I read it was for a book club I was in, and one of
That's a big book for a book club, but good
we
for
had a
you.
month. We had a month to read it. One of the members of the book club like printed out the the book jacket and wrapped it around Mike and Ike's. So she's like, here are your dolls.
Oh, nice. Insider trading. And she talks about it in the movie, in her montage, where she is narrating what they have done.
That's another montage, yeah.
There, oh, see, there you go, another montage. And talking about swearing at the nurse. And the worst is that we hear is stupid ass nurse. Like, oh, ooh, ouch, burn.
Yes, but they
But
could say fag. Like,
that's not a problem. Yeah. There is no actual swearing in this film other than stupid ass nurse. There's no swearing in this movie. But I
well,
did
it's
write
1967. There is no swearing in the
true.
movie, unless it's a French film,
Yes, where you can show a little nipple, just a little for a hot
which
second.
that pissed me off a little bit that, like, they don't translate the whole conversation. I mean, I get it because it's not for us or not really that important, but I'm still just like, come on, everyone. Even Amazon, I watch this on Prime and I watch everything with captions, and
Yep,
even the
same.
fucking captions did not translate it. They just wrote speaks in French, and I'm like, fuck you. This
I
is.
mean, luckily, we're watching the actual movie that Jennifer is in, and there is the translation. And like you said, though, I agree, it's probably super simplified for an American ear and American reading skills. That's why the weird lines like, "You almost got wine in my shoe," is just like, okay,
So
that's artsy fartsy. And it probably play a line like that probably is like, oh, how artistic in France. Like they're like, oh, or they just know that they're a crumb bum studio who's making nudies.
So if anyone out there speaks French and knows what they say, please let us know. You know the socials. But Tommy, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Trap and Flat? I know we missed a song. It's
Which?
Impossible is the one we missed.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Where.
when she's on the Tony, what's his name show, the Rat Packer, no one remembers. Tony Bishop, or no, that's
Where.
Joey Bishop's marathon for cystic fibrosis,
Sure.
and he even says, he's like, have Tony have the other Brat Packers, like he names them Frankie and Sammy, like have them wait. I'm going to have this doll sing another number or whatever, something akin to that. And he has her, but that's her first exposure of national hoop-de-doo. And but just I again, it's a great number. It only fuels the idea, like storyline wise, it doesn't do a damn thing. It's just to show us, like, look, oh wow, you know, she can really sing. Like that's really great, and that's why Line is like the minute they sit down to watch the dinner show slash marathon live, is that Lion gets up immediately and he goes talks to the owner, and he's like, "Hey, you got a gig here," kind of thing. And then she goes on to the Joey Bishop cystic fibrosis, and he's like, "Hey, have this little doll, you know, stick around." So she's getting this is one night, I think. This is all in one night, and it's just like, okay, yes, she can sing, got it. And the famous shot of her be of the beads crisscross because she's just wearing like double beads, and for like 5 seconds they're stretched and there's
They're
one
over
over
her
each boob,
boob.
one perfectly framing each boob.
Which I felt like she was, Patty Duke was like overact, like this whole movie, everyone's overacting. I'm not gonna lie. But I felt like she was really overacting at that point. Just being like, girl, you should
Yeah,
have studied titties more.
a lot of
Yeah.
leaning back as she's lip syncing to someone else. But it's a great song. It furthers nothing, but I like It's Impossible. And she does that on her album. Yep. Any of the songs she didn't sing in Valley of the Dolls, she's like,
She's like, I'm
I'll get you, industry.
gonna. All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall
We
we?
shall.
Sharp flat.
So, in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. Tommy, what would you like to start with? I have about the same for each. So.
I'd say let's get the flats out of the way.
Great. Flat number one, men.
I mean, let's face it, the one upswing we have in this movie is all the men's, whether they're jerks or not, they're handsome as hell.
They are
They're
handsome as hell.
easy on the eyes. They're poorly written,
But their
very poorly
dicks.
written, and they're
And their
dicks.
ass and their
Yep.
asses, yes.
I agree.
I also flatted most of the changes from the books for the book. There's one that I actually sharped. So we will get when we get there, we will get there. But for the most part, a lot of the changes and like the fact that it's so fast, like the passage of time.
Yeah.
Which I mean, it does happen where like you can shoot to stardom. Look at like influencers and TikTok people, you know, and Chapel Roan. I know she was out for a while, but like she just bursted onto the scene a few months ago, it feels like.
Like Lady Gaga originally.
Yeah.
Sorry, Stephanie. Whatever her real last name is, like she's been in, you know, like the bar scene. Like, I mean, you know, like, hey, it's open piano night. Like, she did tons of that stuff.
Right.
And she
And
had to
then
do
just
that weird
all of a
blow
sudden
up
showed up.
weird persona to be seen, which is sad. That's an industry thing. I don't think that's a choice thing. So she had to go over this big hump, which Chapel Roan is kind of doing right now. She's going through the weird, wacky, still entertaining, still fun, but
Very
it's.
talented.
And very, yeah, very. And the same thing like with Lady Gaga, but I'm like, meat dresses, you're coming in an egg, you're doing all this wacky stuff. I'm like, I like your music a lot. This is just me, gaze. This is just me, my opinion. I loved her music. I loved her albums. I'm like, I don't want to watch her ever. I don't want to see her stage show. I don't need to see the bizarro nonsense. I know why it's being done. I get it. But and then when that kind of died down and she became who she became as an actress, still a great singer, I'm like, I'm back on board. Let's
Yeah.
talk. Come
Now
on,
I'll watch.
Steph.
Now you'll watch the
Y
music
now I'll
videos.
watch it. Yep. that, but like I can't support meat dresses and Kermit though fun dresses and all the other wackiness. I'm like, you're doing this for attention. Unfortunately, the best way you're getting attention the best way you can in this business, unfortunately. And so I'm not saying Chaperone will ever change, but I don't know that much about her, but she hasn't gone meat dress yet. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Which kind of goes into my next flat, by the way, is how the entertainment industry treats women. Yay! And then my other flat is how Neely's story wasn't a big cautionary tale. Yay!
We've softened the blow for you.
Like we
Y'all.
learn from Judy. You should learn from Neely, everyone. You're seeing it now. Like you're see everyone seeing it. It's not what's read in the papers or anything. Like you're seeing this and you're still letting the entertainment industry have so much power over these people.
Yep, and dictate their lives in the way their
Like
lives.
we should have the conversation should have changed at this time about the mistreatment of actors, stagehands, directors, the stuff that SAG-AFTRA and the Writers Guild went through last year with their strike should have happened sooner. I mean, I get it now, it's about AI, but like a lot of the mistreatment that they are talking about now should have happened sooner. Anyway, I am also flatting the fact that there's too many montages.
You and these montages, man.
There's just so many. Like it's just like that the whole monologue that Neely has about how she's getting along in the sanitarium. I get it that it's important to see it, but like it's not that important as well. Like the important part of that monologue is when she sang with Tony.
Yes.
I didn't need to see her be like, oh, look, there's a hole in my thing and I got my foot out and blah blah blah. What
And
was that? Waterboarding basically?
but more of a,
Hydrotherapy.
I'd say more of a hydrotherapy. I'll be nice. It's kind of between, but it is definitely more of a hydrotherapy. Because one of my note was that bath that she says it was just warm water flushing in and out. I actually enjoyed it, but I wouldn't let them know that. But I was like, what she described, just laying there with warm water, just rushing, coming in and out, rushing over you. I'm like, that sounds awesome. Like maybe not in that exact kind of a setting. I'd like maybe some nice
Well,
music in the background, but I'm like, that sounds really nice, actually.
also that canvas is there so she doesn't drown herself, basically.
Oh
So,
yeah.
yeah.
Oh, and I do. I get that, of course. But even still, like even if I had that exact same setup again in a nicer environment, I'm like, I could go for that. You know,
Some
warm water
candles,
draining in
some
and out. Yep.
wine.
A whale music CD. I'm great.
Enya.
The pancakes sail away.
And then my last flat is for Jennifer's mother. We never see her, but
Oh, she is a piece of work.
she is the worst. Jennifer, the whole movie and in the book as well, talks about how she has no talent and she's all this thing, all these things happen to her. And her mom abuses her, clearly,
Yeah.
for money and stuff like
And
that.
yeah, mentally abuses her, absolutely.
Yeah. But what are your flats?
My flats are pretty much everything you covered. Again, the mystery we talked a little bit about it earlier, but of like, what the hell was Helen's show? What was this? Maybe Neely should have been glad that she got out of there, because I don't know what the heck we just watched. Because Lyne has the line like, backstage I hate her, but on stage I can't take my eyes off of her. I was like, you can't take your eyes off of that. Okay, again, I don't know.
I mean, it's because of the persona and the talent. It's not the set piece. It's Helen
Yes,
herself.
it's Helen, and it is a mix of everything, because the song unto itself, again, we have no context for it. It's just a nice song, but we
It
don't know what it's about or where.
is.
Nope. So this is a very weird, very specific theater flat. When we're in LA and they're leaving Hello Dolly and some random like kid teenager character, because she's dressed young, asks Neely for her autograph. I'm like, Neely was just watching the show. She wasn't there in the show. And but again, it's the stardom of like, oh, it's just an example of, oh, she's such a star that even when she's just at a show, someone's gonna ask for an autograph. So I get that.
Right.
But my negative is also the etiquette of like, look, Neely's just out with her husband or boyfriend at
Neely's
the
a
time.
person.
Neely's a person, leave her alone. Just leave her alone.
Yeah, you hear that? You hear that, everyone? Leave celebrities alone. They are people.
They are people. If they're just walking through the park, if they're ordering food, just whatever. But then I've been the opposite, where I was at a corner in New York and I glanced over and one of Elijah Wood's friends from the other two little people, whatever, what were they called?
Lord of the Rings?
In Lord of the Rings, in Lord of the Rings, whatever their
Pip
people
and
were called.
Mary?
Yeah,
Or Hobbits?
Hobbits. Thank you. There we go. One of them, I don't remember which one, I saw in a corner. And it was winter in New York, it was December, and everyone had their coats on and everything. And I'm standing there, I glance over, waiting to cross, and like maybe three or four people down was him, whichever one it was. See, I don't even remember which one it was. But I did a slight double take of like, and it wasn't like it was just,
They go,
oh,
oh.
cool. And he saw me see him, but like again, I didn't whip my head, I didn't do anything. But he then was just like, he popped the collar up on his coat and like covered his face. I'm like, calm it down, Mary. I'm not gonna bother you. I get it, but I'm leaving you alone.
That's
Don't worry.
like when Neely's incognito in the movie.
We'll use that term loosely.
It's like
That's me singing on that jukebox.
I'm incognito, but let me just tell you, I'm Neely O'Hara.
You sound like a frog. A frog. And maybe if you can explain this to me, I'm not saying because I don't think you may know the answer per se, but in a lot of movies, especially from
This
50,
time
even
period.
back to Reefer Madness, like the original black and white Reefer Madness, up through like the 80s and early 90s, what is dope?
It's supposed to be weed.
Okay, that's what I thought. And again, I know the stigma that's attached with it, not just because of Reefer Madness, but Neely has a line about getting off dolls is worse than getting off booze or dope. I'm like, I think taking pills would be a lot harder than stop smoking marijuana. But again, I know the taboo, a lot of like it was more socially acceptable for your wife to take speed to get through the day than to smoke a joint.
They
Like,
were letting at this time women smoke cigarettes while they're pregnant. So,
yeah, that's what I'm like, pick and choose.
and
You
drink.
can't pick and choose. Come on.
Right.
Come on,
Right.
National Health Organization.
Oh, I have one more flat, by the way,
Oh, sure.
that I just thought of. I'm going to flat the fact that they don't spend time explaining what the term dolls is. In the book, they do. They talk about, oh, it's a nickname, blah, blah, blah. And they explain. In this one, all of a sudden you're hearing dolls and you're like, what is this?
And
What
really,
are.
Neely's the only one using the word.
Right. I think Jennifer said it once. I know in the book she says it a couple of times, but I think she says it once before she ultimately passes away. But yeah, they never specify, dolls are pills. It's just a term. Anyway, do you have any other
So,
flats?
nope, I believe that is it.
Great. Let's go to sharps. I want a sharp Patty Duke and Sharon Tate. I'm not gonna lie, I did not like Barbara Parkins in this. I felt
Even
like
Barbara Perkins, in many an interview, she didn't like herself in this movie.
no one
Whereas
liked this.
Patty LuPone, oh my God. Woo!
I'm
Patty
keeping that
Duke,
in.
please do. Where Patty Duke was so like, I'm not sure I want to do this, I'm not sure I want to do this. And she walked away this huge star from it. Like people, they loved her in it. And it was
Right.
kind of like, I can't remember right now, but just the idea that she was scared to do this, but she did it and everyone loved her.
I felt like Barbara Parkins was on drugs because she was so monotone and a
She
little
was on dope.
sleepy.
She was on dope.
Was on dope, of course. I am I know we're both like, what the fuck? But I'm sharping the I'll plant my tree in insane set
I knew
design.
you were going to say that.
I guess it's
I
so
knew
dumb. I'm like, this is the gays. This is for the
it.
gays.
Because this is camp. This, folks, is camp.
And speaking of, my next sharp is for the line. You know how bitchy fags can be.
That was the first time I'm like, can I say that on this podcast?
Because I'm like, yes. Yes,
That's
we
because
can
that's all
be.
they were known for in Hollywood was being your hairdresser, correct, use of the term, that your hairdresser or
Hairdresser
your
or
costume
costume
design.
designer.
That's who the gays were in Hollywood, because they were out and proud and they didn't care. There was no backdoor is not the word. There's no closet for them. They're like, yep, we're the guys with the scarves around our neck doing your, sorry, I gotta write that down
What's
here in a
his name
second.
from Bewitched? That actor, that.
Paul Lynde?
Yes.
Yes. What about him?
You
What about
know
that
he
homo? What about that homo?
was one of those bitchy fags that they're talking about in
Yep,
this.
absolutely. Hey, that center square meant something.
I'm gonna also sharp Helen's pantsuit, the paisley one that Judy stole her version
Yep.
of it. It is gorgeous. Like, that is the iconic look. I got a coaster as well from that's a quote from the movie, and I can't find it right now, but it's Helen Lawson with the hair and the pantsuit, and it's a quote of hers. And I'm like, this is just so iconic for everything. By the way, I read that Susan Hayward actually dyed her hair to be white or silver or something. So this way it wasn't a wig, and she wanted to like feel a little more vulnerable as a per as an actor. So power to her. Sharp, fuck it. I'm gonna add a sharp for her too. Susan
Okay.
Hayward, sharp. And then my last sharp is for the change in the ending. I like it for this version. For the book, I like that. What's happening there because it's a different trajectory and everything. For this one, I like it that Neely is understanding her consequences now, and I'm assuming she wants to change. I'm hoping the character is going to change. And then Anne is like, I'm done with the toxicity of the entertainment industry. And she realizes Lion is not the one for her. She wants to find the one. And Lion is the one right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I wonder if she ever got back together with her former fiance, if he was cool about it or not. You know
God,
what I
I
mean?
hope not, because I really hope I feel like she was to she was toxic for him as Lion is toxic for her. And
Fair
he is
enough.
worse in the book. I will say that. Lion
Lion
is
is? Okay.
so worse because Anne has a fuck ton of money, and because she got something from and she inherited money from a relative. I don't think it was Aunt May, I think it was somebody else that Mr. Bellamy helps her invest it, and she gets all this money, and then she becomes
Okay.
the spokesperson, and she gets even more money. And so she's like a wealthy woman who also is I'm sorry that I'm nerding out about this book.
Please.
But she's this wealthy woman who's so humble and down to earth and kind, but also like a stick in the mud in a
She,
way.
in her heart of hearts, she's still like a little hometown New England girl.
Yes.
And for especially at that time period, if you were a WASP in New England, you were a very conservative, very, don't acknowledge the elephant in the room situation
Right,
person.
but like the big city didn't change her
No.
in either the book nor the movie, it feels like.
Okay, good to know.
Okay, what were your sharps?
My sharps, though many, and I've mentioned a few, but my big ones that I've checked off here is costumes, hair, makeup throughout this entire film. On the two disc DVD set, they talk about with especially costumes, a lot of it has to try to show their growth or downfall with their character. And that's why you see Anne in the beginning, and kind of mostly throughout the whole movie, that Anne is in very drab colors, is that she's not the super exciting one. She's not the modern girl. She's just this.
But her hair is the thing that changes if
Yes,
you.
and even before the Gillian Girl situation, so and then when you mentioned earlier, I wrote it down immediately with the bitchy fags who do your wigs and everything. Whereas there's a great video, if you know the drag queen James Mansfield does a whole thing about the history of wigs, and she talks about starting in the, I'd say 50s and 60s, when like the Hollywood glam look was extra pieces on your hair, was wearing like a partial wig, a fall, or whatever you want to call it. But the hair pieces, like when what's his name, is it Ted, comes to pick Neely up off the floor in her
Ted Casablanca, yeah.
Ted Casablanca goes
After
to the
she
crowd,
pulls out her hair pieces
and then
too.
he's like, "Here, give this to the hairstylist. It's her rat. I know they call that a rat. It's styled to look like it's part of your hair. But all the falls, all the additions, all the wigs, all the hair, yes, all of it, every stitch of clothing in this film, on everyone."
I want to actually say, so Travia is the name of the costume designer for the gowns. And I guess I guess it's weird how they credit costume designers during this time in Hollywood where they'll say gowns by, and you're like, okay, so then who dressed the men? I know they wear.
Unless you're watching a game show, like, they never tell you who clothed the men.
But like, I know men are wearing suits and suits are boring, but like, who picked out those suits? Ties are sometimes you pick a color for a reason. So, but Trivia is the one who Judy also commissioned to make the pantsuits for. So just want to give a
No,
shout out to him.
absolutely. Thank you. And he deserves every, and that probably bitchy fag deserves every bit of credit.
And then wait, I want to hold on. I want to give the hair people too their due. So the
yeah, please.
hair designer for Miss Parkins was Mr. Ken, or well, Kenneth, otherwise known as Mr. Cannon.
Of course.
But the hairstylist supervisor was Edith Linden. So
So kudos.
shout out to
Thank
those
you.
people. You did a great job.
Yep, you did. You did. From like the first time I watched this movie, I am in awe. I am sharping, literally to the point of broken glass, the way Neely throws that bottle at Ted Casablanca and perfectly misses him. And he doesn't falter.
Flinch.
He's just walking off. He doesn't flinch. He's walking away from her. She chucks the bottle, or someone. It's the shots are separate, so who knows? But the fact that, like, it breaks, maybe, I'll be polite, like a foot away from his feet as he's walking, he just keeps calmly right on walking.
And
So
he's
I am.
barefoot, right? Like, because he comes out
He's
of the pool.
barefoot. He's barefoot. Yes. And so, that still, I'm in awe of. I don't know if that was when Patty Duke threw it or someone else, but kudos
That too.
to that broken glass and bare feet.
Well,
Oh,
that
OSHA,
scene,
like, Jesus.
like, I know that they must have given that woman, the random woman that he's cheating on Neely with, some sort of something to wear, but to give the illusion that she's naked. But I couldn't tell what it was. I think I saw like underwear, a panty of some sort, because I didn't see a butt crack, but I wasn't really looking because I don't, it's not that
Yeah,
important.
you just know that he's canoodling around.
Yes.
So hair pieces, all that stuff. And it was funny that you mentioned it because, well, we talked about it briefly. I honestly think my friend Peter, hi Peter, because he will listen to this. Hi Peter.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for listening.
His when she rips the wig off of her, that white hair, like, and then especially when she puts the scarf on and everything, like that white hair looks gorgeous. Like, give it a little curl and a brush, of course, but just the color and everything about it, I was like, she looks better like this with white hair, I
And that's her
think.
hair.
Yeah,
Like I
and
said, yeah.
I'm sure I knew it's. I figured that out at some point, or someone told me. But I'm like, no. Because then she's like, "I'll go back. I'll leave the way I came in." When
Dignity.
the bathroom lady, and I was like, "She may be a bitch, but that is class. That is
What a
class right
broad.
there." She got a pair. She got a big old pair. Love her for it. And also with any movie around this time period, especially people of our age, a little younger, older, whatever. But just the cameos, like people who aren't credited in the film, who went on to do other things. Richard Dreyfuss is the stagehand who goes to collect drunk Patty Duke at the door at her, was it Tell Me Darling or whatever the David Merrick show she's doing. Oh, that was another thing I forgot to mention earlier. When they're leaving, when the audience girl comes up and asks Patty Duke for her autograph, I love the scan of the Hello Dolly sign, which is no different than of from that time. Sold out last week, whatever is plastered on there. But then where it says Hello Dolly with, but I think I don't know where the name would be, but either way, it's blocked out because I don't know who would have been starring in the role at that point. Like, and if it's LA, it's either a sit down or it's a tour that's stopping there for a while. But there's no, they always, you know, Bette Midler, Hello Dolly, Ethel Merman, Hello Dolly. That's perfectly covered. Or, and then the Hello Dolly with this, the camera stops right there. So it's just David Merrick presents Hello Dolly. It's the poster we all know,
That
but
was
we don't
also in
see
the
who the lead would be.
IMDb trivia a lot, because whoever did this, I forget who it was, just to secure the rights to it. And they were, I
Oh.
think they were in pre-production at that point, because the movie came out 2 years after this.
After that showing or whatever.
No, after
Or
this movie itself.
oh,
The
gotcha. Oh, gotcha. Okay,
Valley of the
got it.
Dolls came out in 67. Hello Dolly came out in 69, I think.
Yeah, 69,
So.
70. I'm always shocked at how late they filmed the Dolly film because it looks like the time period of the different episode, I know, but Hello Dolly doesn't look like it's 1969. Oliver, the movie musical, doesn't look like 1960, 70, whatever. Fiddler on the Roof definitely doesn't look like it's from a specific time period when it's filmed. Whereas a lot of movie musicals, you can tell, like, oh,
Historical
this is
ones, you're
very.
like, oh, you're doing 60s hair and it's supposed to be turn of the century.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So those are three examples of movie musicals where I'm like, I am whisked away. I don't know that you filmed this in 1968 when it's supposed to be on a Tefka in, you know, whenever. So kudos. But cameos, hair pieces, white white hair looks better, costumes. And because I think I mentioned I fast forwarded through bits in some of it, but like when Anne first gets to New York and Steinberg is talking to Mr. what's his name,
Bellamy.
Bellamy, like I'm just writing notes, so I'm not even looking at the screen and with my closed captions on, but I'm looking down. I'm literally lip syncing the scene as I'm writing down notes. I'm like, wow, I've watched this movie a lot. And I know one of the questions we usually ask at the beginning is, what's your history? My only history of it was I watched it for the first time early 2000s. My friends Mark and Dave, we watched this on LaserDisc.
Let me get your walker for you.
Yeah, thank you. So early
Ah!
2000s, LaserDisc.
Oh,
But
LaserDisc.
I thank them so much because they introduced me to this, The Ritz, and a bunch. No, I'd
Showgirls as
already seen
well.
Barbarella. No, I saw Showgirls on my own with my friend Chris. But
Wow.
Mark and Dave introduced me to a lot of the classics, the gay classics, on LaserDisc.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? I really only wrote down Come Live With Me.
I
Because
have three, but oh, that's a lie. I have more than that. But
there's only five songs in this whole thing.
like two or three of them are just the instrumentals, just to be playing. But as for like
Okay.
vocal songs, I have It's Impossible, just because I love the way that whatever Gail Heidemann sings it. I just think it's great. So I think it's a good song. It stands on its own. You don't need to know it's from Valley of the Dolls. It's just a good song. And then Come Live With Me, definitely is just.
The Tony version, the
Yes,
Tony
the Tony
Perkins,
version. Yes,
not
yes, yes.
Perkins. What's his name?
Tony Perkins, no.
No,
A year or
Tony
two
Pollard.
around, yeah, a year or two around this time, his mother is about to take over his soul, so no. But yeah, Come Live With Me, his version is just the loungy, super sexy 60s version of it, and his vibrato is stunning.
The Dean
So,
Martin version that he's supposed to be. And he,
yeah,
that
clearly.
actor, Tony Scotti is singing. I
Okay,
haven't
so
seen
that
anything
is,
otherwise.
yeah, no, me neither. Me neither. And then the other, my last vocal song is, again, Give a Little More, because it's a great song. Again, we don't know where the hell this song would have been in the show that she was in, but it's a great song, great voice, very ballady and nice. But then the instrumental ones that I love are Neely's Career Montage. You call this acting, and she's lifting weights and shit. So, and then the Gillian Girl commercial, just because that's that 60s like flowing orchestral, like and it, I don't know if it would be an ad at the time, we weren't there, but just that sound, the flourishing, that gorgeous, like I feel like I'm in a nightclub when a song like that comes on. I feel like I'm in a 60s fancy schmancy supper club, like in The Great Muppet Caper. Like, that's what would be playing behind them.
Okay. And on that note, Tommy, We're done with the episode. We did it. We did Valley
Beep,
of the
beep, beep,
Dolls.
beep.
Beep, 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 beep. What do you have to plug or promote?
Still at Disney. So come visit us, as I always say. I don't have any PSAs like last time, but still, I'll just repeat it. Support your local music shops, any local bookshops, media, any media shops that are local, go support them, please.
Support local, all local. Let's
All
even
our
go
local.
broader, all local stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yes, true. All local stuff, but just because like this podcast is about a musical medium, that kind of idea. But yes, I
That's
agree
fine.
completely. If you have a good local bakery, a good local restaurant, my husband and I have he made a whole list of local places that our friends and coworkers have recommended to us, and they've recommended some good stuff. So yeah, go support local businesses in general. But yes, absolutely.
I know I asked a question earlier and I kind of forgot already. So if you rewind, find that question, you feel free to answer me. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. Wow, I had to take a breath in the middle of that. How dare I?
See, so much media.
So much media. If you, I don't know,
Oh,
if you.
you asked earlier if people who had read the book and seen the movie also their take on one versus the other. I know
There
you
we
asked
go.
that. There it is.
There we go. Let me know what you thought of the this. Do you which one do you prefer? And Tommy, I hope by the time this episode comes out or after this episode, you have finished the book and you can answer it yourself.
Okay, I'm not kidding. I know for a podcast, it's an audio medium. He's watching me to do this. Reaching up.
Tommy's reaching up out of camera view. And he has pulled out his version of Valley of the Dolls.
I didn't preset this for this podcast. It has been literally right there next to my Vanna Speaks book from that they mentioned in an episode of Golden Girls. So, yes, certain books stay
And I
close
can
to my heart.
see his little bookmark kind of
Yep.
thing sticking out,
What's left of it?
but now he's gonna have to start from the beginning, and
Oh.
because it
Oh
looks like
yeah.
it's been a minute. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we will be discussing Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? An actual musical movie. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. I'm
Nope,
kidding. I'm
not
kidding.
at all.
Tommy, thank you
Whatever,
so much
Frosty
for
or whatever the heck it was.
Tommy, thank you so much for coming back on and, letting me let out some anger issues, question mark.
Angst, angst.
Thanks.
Just take a doll. You'll be fine. It'll take the edge off.
I will. Thank you. I'll take the red ones. And
I.
everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now. Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.